The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, that's opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome on this first day of spring. Believe it.
Spring?
I mean, summer. Summer, yeah.
Spring, summer, doesn't it?
Today's the first day of summer.
Oh,
so.
Wow, okay.
So they
the
say,
longest day
right?
Of the year.
That's right. Yeah. I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yes.
How about that?
And then the days get shorter after
wow.
Today.
It's good. I like short days.
No, I don't. Well.
I don't know. I don't care either way. You know, whatever, you know, long or short. As long as they're good days, that's all
right.
That matters.
That's all that matters.
Okay, everybody, welcome. I'm Father Anthony. I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. In word, Arlene?
I spoke with my father. He went with my mother. They went to see her yesterday.
Did they? Okay, I tried to call today. I couldn't get a hold.
She was still disoriented. She's highly medicated. And he said the social worker came in, probably sent to a rehab center.
Yeah. But no surgery or anything, so?
No, it's just rehabilitation.
Yeah, she messed her back up, you know, so. Well, anyway, you saw her the other day.
I saw her Saturday.
I'm going to try to get out there to see her tomorrow, so. Anyway, I tried to call her, but there's no answer, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Christina, Tony, Geraldine, if maybe she's listening, I don't know, who knows, Nick, everybody's here, but Herman, Oscar.
That's right.
Who knows? Anyway.
And those who are listening out there.
They're here, yeah.
Okay. They're here.
All three of you.
So we had on Sunday we had the church celebrated Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. What did you think? It was
It was nice.
It was nice, wasn't it?
I told you, Father, I know a lot goes into these things, but I love the procession.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it's good that everyone was out. The weather was surprisingly
unbelievable.
Except for the wind. I had the banner and I...
Oh, you were one of the banner bearers.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
It's terrible.
But yeah, holding that banner was like, oh, I thought it was going to break. And then I've done this before, so I know how to maneuver it. But,
Because that's like a sail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Even a big guy like me, I thought I was going to fly.
Yeah. I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
I thought I had it hard because I was carrying the monstrance, you know. But it really wasn't so bad. But the banners—that's right, because and we have big banners, and so they would be like sails.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, well, you led us in the right direction.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Right.
So it was beautiful. So we had Corpus Christi and the church. By tradition, there's procession. We haven't had a procession for a long time.
Years,
it's been many
ever.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have them all the time.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And. This year we combined all the masses, and which was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And had all the men sit on one side and the women on the other side.
That was nice, too.
It was.
I didn't think people were going to go for that.
And I thought it actually
looked nice.
Because it happened to be Father's Day as well. Yeah. So I wanted to, because my project this summer is to start this confraternity called the Knights of Adoration. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a booklet. And I'm really happy about it. I'm very excited about it, to be honest. I tried to do this a couple of years ago, if you remember. And then things happened, and I didn't get... got kind of pushed to the back burner. But this year, I've got most of it together. And I went back, actually. What I did is I went back and reread all the letters I wrote on Father's Day. And they were good letters. I mean, there's some really... so I want to include those in the...
That would be good.
And as a source of meditation, and of course scripture and the prayer of entrustment, which a lot of the guys didn't have, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're reprinting it this weekend in the bulletin. But it was so nice. I tell you, it was. So we had. So for those who don't know, so we it was Corpus Christi, and then also it happened to be Father's Day as well. So I had the beginning of trying to initiate this confraternity, the Knights of Adoration. So I had the men and the young men, mm-hmm. the teenagers, their sons, and I had them sit on one side of the church, and the women on the other side, which is something I witnessed in
Mexico.
Mexico, and I was so impressed. And I tell you what impressed me about that was that the men were with their sons, mm-hmm. And so you could see the sons emulating or imitating their fathers in prayer.
Yes.
And the women, of course, they had the daughters and they had the babies, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was, many people would probably, you know, frown on something like that. But I saw it and I liked it and I thought, you know, I'm going to take the occasion mm-hmm. to do this so I could talk directly to the men. And if I'm talking to the men, I know the women are listening, right? So, I was amazed at how many men were there. That whole half of the church was full, basically. So I was really impressed because I kind of figured, and I told told Lorenzo to print 200 of the prayers because I thought, well, I don't think we're going to have. First of all, we're combining the masses, and so some people may decide not to participate because it's going to be a long mass. It's going to be in English. It's going to be in Spanish. It's going to be in Polish.
And it wasn't that long.
It was not.
No, it flowed.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
I wish it was longer. The what?
I kind of wish it was longer.
Well, it was very beautiful. And the choir did a beautiful job. I in the letter this weekend, I mentioned that. it was, didn't you think, Tony? Beautiful. It was very, very nice.
And were you guys upstairs and downstairs?
We were downstairs.
Okay, that's
what
I mean. Sophie was with the organ, or the organ wasn't playing at all?
No, she was with the organ, but it was the downstairs organ.
I was just so disorientated for other things for that day, but yeah.
You were sitting off to the side.
Yeah, because I came in late, and I'm not going to tell you why I came in late, but let's just say when Angelica's not there to tell me what to do, it shows.
Why was she wasn't there?
Right. Well, Angelica's in California.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And I'm going to tell you, for some odd reason, I thought the procession was going to be first.
Oh.
That's just thinking, okay, well, I got time. I'm going to get here a little early. There'll be time. I'll catch the procession as it's going. No, but I came in just the right time.
Well, did you know you were going to carry a banner?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't because I was actually supposed to do something else. And then the minute I came in, I was hit with, oh, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then that changed. And then I had the banner at the end. I just happened to be in the right place.
So you didn't carry it in the beginning?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, I just came in.
That was just for the procession in the church. And then we had you carried it in the
exactly.
outside.
Exactly. Because I had. After I was the minister of communion, so I happened to be right there, and so I was there.
So
stay,
wow.
I need you. So it worked.
It worked out, man.
No, it was nice. It was, I'll tell you, it was really nice, and there's just something about being in procession, mm-hmm. you know. It's a powerful public witness to the faith, and because it is a very solemn procession, you know, we had the banners, so the four big banners that you guys had. Mm-hmm. That were like sails, so I can see now the wind. That would have been a bad. I realized that
there's
would,
a picture there.
Yeah, the wind blows.
I don't show that picture ever again.
But so we had those banners. We had some other banners as well, and then we had the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was carried. And it was all the men carrying the.
And then you had the canopy over
the canopy, which your father worked until midnight.
The midnight.
preparing the canopy. But we had a beautiful canopy that was. Prepared and then of course and then I found this. I've never seen it before.
It's beautiful.
I was looking for the cope because there's a different vestment we wear for the procession, and for the Eucharistic procession, and for the humeral veil. And so I'm 27
almost
years here.
Mm-hmm.
27 or 28. 27 years here mm-hmm. at the parish, and. I forgot that, you know, I need the cope and the humeral veil. And so I guess it was several months ago, we cleaned out the whole sacristy. Sure. Actually, Anjay's mother, Teresa, put everything in order, kind of organized mm-hmm. everything and reordered the vestments and all that. So we've got them, you know, seasonally, the yes. different colors, because the colors change for the seasons. And she put all, she got all the copes, and she put the copes in the back. And so I knew they were in the back there, so I reached back, and there was this beautiful, beautiful gold cope, mm-hmm. old. I mean, it has to be, it has to be 80 years old or maybe 100 years old. I don't know. Yeah. Don't you think it was?
Yeah, it,
and really heavy.
Yes.
And so I pulled it out, and I thought, my gosh, where did this come from? It's beautiful. And then I opened the, then I had to get a humeral veil, which is a veil that goes over the cope, and it's mm-hmm. wrapped around the monstrance, which carries a Eucharist. And so I thought, I opened the drawer, and there's the matching coat, the matching humeral veil. And I, you know, that's where did this all come from? I don't know. For 27 years, I've never seen it. And it was really heavy, so I thought, well, because it's hot. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I'll wear it, because it's just so beautiful.
Yes.
And it wasn't bad at all. No. It wasn't bad at all.
Because it was breathing. It was beautiful.
It wasn't really a hot.
No,
it wasn't. Overly hot. It was it was just a very comfortable day.
Yes,
so
it was. Yeah.
And the breeze was kind of nice, except for those who were carrying the banners. You know? But and then, of course, Holy Trinity had their procession. And I don't know, were you the first banner?
It changes. I think I was a second.
Did you see their procession?
No.
See, some people saw their procession, so it's like we were...
I know every year they have
right,
it, so it's
right.
like I was surprised that we were going to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even...
Maybe next year we'll join them.
Join, you know,
be good. Yeah.
But it was really, really nice. The choir did a beautiful job, and then it was just... The Mass was so... It was just a beautiful, beautiful, solemn Mass. And then the back end of the church to the Pangalingua.
Yes.
The, you know, leaving and coming in, it was so beautiful.
It's very powerful. It's very moving.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
See it all, you know.
So I was thinking, what a contrast to the, I don't want to say. I'm not going to say.
We're not even going to go there.
No, let's not even go there. But I just thought, you know, we really need to give public witness
sure.
in procession. We had the Fatima procession, which was beautiful. And this was so nice. And we used to do this all the time when we had the neighborhood. See, right now we don't mm-hmm. have the neighborhood because our people lived in the neighborhood. And so we had processions for Good Friday. Mm-hmm. We had the Stations of the Cross. Well, the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday.
Yes.
In addition to the liturgy, the paraliturgy that that takes place on Good Friday. We had, I know on the feast of the Assumption, we had an outdoor procession.
Yes.
We would do that. We did Corpus Christi. Always we had the Corpus Christi procession. We did Palm Sunday procession. Remember, one year, actually did the Palm Sunday procession. We actually went through the streets. We had the blessing of the palms in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went through the streets of the neighborhood with the palms and then came back for the Mass. And mm-hmm. that was, and of course, in those days, we had the neighborhood.
Yes.
So you had... The church was always packed, and it was this past Sunday because we combined all the masses.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full church. I thought for sure that the women are going to far outnumber the men, but they did, but not that much.
Yeah,
not that much.
It was
a lot of men.
Very nice to see that.
So I hope it was I guess it was. You know, somehow we don't say it, but there's a need for it. I
mm-hmm.
think, and. Anyway, so that's what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the Blessed Sacrament,
mm-hmm.
Corpus Christi, the precious, the sacred body and blood of Christ. We'll talk about that today because it is a mystery. I mean, we call it the mystery of the faith, you know, that God is present to us in the Eucharist. This is the hidden manna, the bread from heaven that we not collapse as we go on our way, because life is a procession
mm-hmm.
in a sense. You know, we have to look at it that way. Life is a pilgrimage.
Yes,
no, we're pilgrims on the journey, the adventure of life, through the ups and the downs and the peaks and the valleys. But if we think of it as a procession, and you know, I think it was Jeffrey Hammond
mm-hmm.
who brought that to my attention. This idea of the procession, and life is a procession, a religious procession. If we really cleave to Christ, remain in the company of the Lord, and and allow him to lead us, but also, you know, lead us, guide us, but companion us, to accompany us. Accompany us. Is that the right word?
Accompany.
Accompany us on the journey in procession, because you gotta deal with the elements of life. You know, as we had to deal with the wind. It could have been rain.
It rained the night before.
It did. And when I got up in the morning, I looked out and it was dark. It was dark and dreary, and it looked like it was going to rain. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't worry about it. I thought it's at least it's not raining, but it looks like it could any time. But we just, you know, what can you do? You can't do anything about that. You just got to put it in God's hands. And when it comes to the time, we'll have to make a decision whether we can go into the streets or not. We certainly should, even if it were raining. You know, there's such a thing as umbrellas, and I was under the canopy. But it just... I mean, the clouds went away and the sun came out, and it was just—it couldn't have been a more beautiful day. It was like the
150th.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was just so beautiful. Or the Fatima procession as well.
That's
it was a beautiful day. So we thank God for that. And all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Eucharist as that we carry Christ in. Procession. I said in the letter, either in the letter or in the entrustment prayer, that in adoration, because we're talking about adoration, but also the Eucharistic liturgy, sacred liturgy, but it's God coming to man, man going to God. It's a mutual reaching out to each other, you know, for the purpose of getting us through this life and to empower us, to help us to get each other through this life. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll further speak about that. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change. Is that right?
Yes.
On AMW.
AM 50.
Whatever.
750.
Whatever. Okay.
WNTZ.
We'll be back.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WND. And on the World Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
You've looked for the right school for your child, but what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the value that has, and yet you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching may be undermining what's hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 778-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change cast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your viewers. We now bring you to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, and we want to pray for you know, those who are sick, we ask you to, you know, pray for Dean and for Mike Sawinski, is mm-hmm. one of the persons very sick, and Sister Florine, Sister who runs Florine. A soup kitchen, she's down as well. So, and of course, anybody we're praying sick. Every day for the sick, but I do ask that you remember those three who have to be very, very close to the parish. And of course, Geraldine is always here. So, and Mike is always, and Sister's always here. You know, Sister
right.
runs a soup kitchen.
That's
so,
right.
We keep them in prayer. Pray that the healing power of the mm-hmm. Spirit envelop their lives. So, speaking about the Eucharist, food for the journey. That's how I like the food for the procession, for the journey. Let's say for the journey. That's what Jesus said. Food for the journey, that they not collapse as they go on their way. It is a mystery. It really is a mystery. This faith, this belief, this dogma, this doctrine that we've believed from the beginning for 2,000 years. It's never been doubted, at least by the church. Individuals may doubt, certainly with the Protestant Reformation, it threw everything into doubt, I guess, or disbelief, or major deviation from the teachings or the mystery or the doctrine that in fact at the consecration the bread and the wine indeed become the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ. That Jesus is with us in a unique way. How is he with us? He's with us in many, many ways, right? I mean, really, he it's his desire to dwell within us, to abide within us. Now, we have to be receptive. We have to open our lives to the Lord, allow him in. God is ever aware of us. You know, mm-hmm. we're God's creation. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the artist, we're the work of his hands. In a fallen state, but we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed, and we've been saved. If we would only humbly accept the gift of salvation, but that we not collapse again. To go back to the gospel, where Jesus looked on the crowd and he said, "Feed them, that they not collapse as they go on their way." And the apostles, the disciples said, well, there's only, you know, there's five loaves and there's, you know, 5,000 people. He just says, feed them. And he miraculously multiplied the loaves and they were fed. They were satisfied. And he says, you're satisfied. Your bellies are full. But he says, you're going to die nonetheless, but I give you food to eat. You eat this food, you will not die. And then he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. And his disciples said, well, how can you give us your flesh to eat, your blood to drink? And he, in John's gospel, he repeats, I think it's 5 or 6 times, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. This is, you know, food for the soul. Spiritual food for the journey, for eternal unto eternal life, and it was at that. So he didn't really answer the question, "How can you?" Mm-hmm. It's just he just stated the truth, the fact. You know, I give you my body, my blood, to eat and to drink, and they said, some of the disciples, they said, this is too much. This is too much. In Spanish, intolerable, this is intolerable teaching. Who can withstand this teaching? And they said, we can no longer remain in the company of this man. Hmm. And they walked away. And, of course, as we've repeated so often, and you hear it said so often in so many places, Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, you know, come back, you didn't understand, I didn't mean literally that you eat my body and drink my blood. No, he let him go. And he looked at the 12, and the gospel says very clearly, he knew the one who would betray him. And he said, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? We believe you have the words of life everlasting. We choose to stay with you. Maybe I'm kind of filling in the thoughts, but you know, maybe we don't understand. Maybe this is beyond our ability to comprehend. But we put our faith and our trust in you. We believe you have the words of life everlasting, and we stay with you. We choose to stay with you, and that's what we've done for 2,000 years. We've stayed with him, the church, and we've accepted, embraced, and we've been transformed by this sublime mystery that cannot be explained. But it's not that difficult to comprehend if you think that out of nothing, out of nowhere, we came into being. If God could love us into life out of nothing, except that we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God, in the very being of God, but he could love us into life. And as I think I might have mentioned on the radio, or I mentioned at Mass, but I had asked the children at the, I think it was at the First Holy Communion, I said, you know, or was it one of the children's masses? I said, where were you? Mm-hmm. Ask the second graders, you know, how old are you? You know, okay, so the child said, you know, I'm 8 years old. I said, where were you 10 years ago? You had to really think about that. Where was I? You know? Yeah, where were you 10 years ago? Or 20 years ago? Or, you know, well, yeah, where was I? I was nowhere. I wasn't. I was not, you know? But out of nothing, from nowhere, you've come into something, someone, somewhere. Here you are. You know, that's a miracle in and of itself, right? Or you think of the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. We have no problem with that, I don't think. You know, the miracle, the first sign, the first miracle performed in John's Gospel, where they're at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and the Blessed Virgin Mary says, you know, son, they have no wine. They've run out of wine. And he says, you know, woman, why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's referring to the hour when the marriage is consummated and God is wedded to his people, and the Messianic people are born, which is the hour of his suffering, death, and resurrection. And so he says, the hour has not yet come. And she says, she just looks, the Blessed Mother looked at the stewards, and she says, you know, do what he tells you to do. And he changed the water into wine. So we don't have a problem with that. It's a miracle. So if he says, you know, this bread is my body at the Last Supper, this wine is my blood, he institutes the Eucharist, eat my body, drink my blood, and do this until I come at the end of time, you know. Let this sacrifice, because this is in anticipation of the sacrifice he would make the following day, where he would redeem us through the shedding of his own blood. He, the supreme high priest, is offering himself in sacrifice. He offers himself as the lamb of sacrifice, which brings an end to the Judaic priesthood and the sacrifice of the lambs, because it's all been consummated. It's all this was a prefiguration. But anyway, so for 2,000 years, you know, after Pentecost, when the apostles received the Holy Spirit, even before Scripture was written, the only Scripture they had, of course, was the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. That was all they had. And so they had to keep going back to that, and it's, and rightfully so, because it, as Jesus did on the day of the resurrection, you know, to those two disciples who are, you know, their eyes are downcast, and Jesus appeared to them, the risen Christ, and they didn't recognize him, and he says, why are you sad? What has happened? Why are the eyes downcast? And he says, well, are you the only one who doesn't know what has happened? We thought he was the one, but he's been crucified, he's died, he's been buried. And Jesus said, wasn't this supposed to happen this way? How quick you forget what was written in the scriptures. And he's only referring to the Hebrew scriptures, because there is no gospel. He is the gospel. The letters haven't been written. The gospels haven't been written. The of the New Testament has been written, and it won't be written for some time yet. But they recognized him. Only because this is a very beautiful story, isn't it? Because he comes to this juncture in the road after he's explaining to them, well, you know, how quick you forget what was said. What did Moses do? What did Moses say? Remember the Exodus. Remember the journey, you know, through the desert. And they were fed with the manna from heaven. Remember what did Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, the prophets, what did they say? Zephaniah, Baruch, Hosea. What did they say? What was written? What was foretold? Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And then they come to the juncture in the road, and Jesus, he acted as if he were going on, and they said, sir, come and stay with us. It's getting late. And he went to their home, the gospel says, and he sat down at the table, took the bread. He basically did what he did 3 days before on Holy Thursday when he instituted the Eucharist. He took the bread, he blessed it, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he vanished from their sight. And it was at that they looked at each other, and they said, did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us? They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. He vanished because he leaves the bread, which is no longer bread, but it's his body and his blood. And they immediately went back to Jerusalem, to the cenacle where the apostles were gathered, locked away in fear, to tell them that Jesus is alive, and how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And of course, the Lord had appeared to them as well. So from the beginning, so after Pentecost, and the church begins already to celebrate the sacred mysteries, is reflecting on the scripture, the Hebrew scripture. Then of course Paul is converted, the persecutor of the Christians, a devout Jew. They were all Jewish, remember, you know, in the beginning. But it was with Paul that it really begins to move beyond Judaism to begin to Catholicize, to go out to all the nations. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And then he begins to write letters to the Romans, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Galatians, and he sends those, and then those letters they're distributed to the various churches, and Peter's writing letters, and James and John, and so all that, you know, then as Christians gather for the Eucharist, for the breaking of the bread, for the Eucharistic sacrifice, to be fed, you know, Jesus is present to them, he's with them in this mysterious way, he gives himself to them under the guise of bread and wine to feed them, that they not collapse as they go on their way, and that they, you know, fulfill the mission to be his disciples and to proclaim the good news that there is meaning and purpose in life, and that we're destined for something very beautiful, very good, life with God. But God is with us. The kingdom has come. And he's in our midst. He's in our midst. He comes to us. So he comes to us in many, many ways. He comes to us through the Word of God, through the sacraments of the church, but principally speaking, the Eucharist. Baptism is really the door that opens us. It's not only cleanses us from original sin, but it's also the door that opens us to the Eucharistic sacrifice, to the offering of our lives in order to be then able to receive Jesus in this very intimate way, where he gives himself, literally gives himself, feeds us with himself. You know, even the early Christians were at times martyred because they were the accusation was that they were cannibals because they claimed to eat the body and blood of Jesus. So mm-hmm. it was some justification mm-hmm. to their you know putting them to death. So it is the mystery of mysteries. But you know we've got 2,000 years of witness. Aside from the fact that the church has been celebrating the sacred mysteries, but in the you know you read the lives of the saints, you listen, or just not even the saints, you know people. I've shared my story. You know people have their stories. You know when what is seemingly hidden, shrouded in mystery, really, you know that. Every so often that veil is lifted and we come to the experience with certitude that indeed this bread and wine are not bread and wine, but this is indeed the body and the blood of Jesus. And it completely transforms people's lives. It brings conversion, it can bring healing, it can certainly give us strength, all these things. But this is the heart. As the church says, you know, everything flows into the Eucharist mm-hmm. and comes from the Eucharist. That is Jesus Christ in a unique way, in a unique and a very distinct way, present among us. As he said the night before he died, better that I go, that I remain with you. You know, and how is he with us? Again, through his word, through the word of God, the scripture, through the Eucharist. All this by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's in this that he abides within us. And see, and this is part of the mystery of it all as well. I was reflecting on this morning. I was praying just in preparation for the radio today that, you know, how do you explain to somebody, how do you convey to somebody why you go to him in the Eucharist. And so we'll take a break, we'll come back, and maybe we can talk about that, you know, because it is, because I realized as I was praying this morning that it's not only does it keep me grounded, but it's where I have ongoing communion with Christ in, again, in a very unique, in a very distinct way, and nothing can quite come close to that experience, but it's not even, but it's beyond experiential. It's something that is deeper than the than what we can sense. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll come back and we'll talk about that. So, don't go away, Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change. And AM 50 WNDZ.
You vote for the right school for your child. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your academic excellence, and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofino.com.
Married couples, I have good news for you. Such things as marriage problems. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Leaf Institute. There are no marriage problems. There are only problems in knowing and living the body, which answers the question, why are we a man and why are we a woman? We know this, we come to know our legitimate needs as man or woman. Marriage is all about meeting these legitimate needs. Remaining unaware of these needs is what begins the process of exchanging hurts, leading to strained relationship. A woman's greatest need is to be relationally fulfilled, knowing her husband is most present to her. A man's greatest need is to know that his wife believes in him. that he is more than adequate, and that he has what it takes to be a man. Our legitimate needs as man and woman are revealed in the very language of our gendered bodies. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org.
Welcome, buddy. Thanks for being with us. So how do you explain to somebody, how do you convey to somebody the why of your or our being in the... I think it's perhaps easy for people to grasp our participation in the sacred worship of God in the Mass, which means missio, right? Mission. We can appeal with a mission, so we come, just like those two disciples, to be fed with the Word of God that we not forget. Ah, remember. Yeah, okay, this is... Okay, yeah, because we have our doubts, and we were conflicted, we were affected by the world we live in. And it is, I mean, you read Scripture, there's just no way around it. It's we know it from experience. We don't have to read it in Scripture. We know that life is difficult, not easy. It's hard. If the attack to the mind or the body or the soul, the spirit, the stuff going out all around us. I always say, and I've said it before, that if, on the radio I've said it, but if everything is right with me, fine with me, if I've seemingly died and gone to heaven, but somewhere, somebody is suffering. Geraldine is in the hospital. Mike Sawinski's in the hospital. Florine's in the hospital. Violence on the south side of Chicago or west side of Chicago. There's somebody, whatever. If somebody's suffering, then we're all connected in that sense. So it can't be all right with me as long as somebody somewhere is suffering. If I have that sensitivity to this communion that constitutes humanity, not apart from God, because that would be a disaster, that would be chaotic, and much of the world is chaotic because God has not given a place, he's not the foundation. We choose to, like those disciples, to walk away. Things are not right with the world. And so it says, okay, so with the Mass, the mission, we go because we have to be reminded, because we've doubted, we've been affected, we question. This is all normal, this is all part of life, this is perfectly normal. It's good, because it causes, as long as we keep searching, the roots go deeper and deeper and deeper, especially as we have to suffer the dry of the desert, or the dark of the night. All that should bring us to deeper faith if we have the courage to persevere, and the humility, and not relent in the offering of our lives. And that's really what we do as we participate in the Mass. How do we participate? We offer our lives. We entrust ourselves to God as we're in this adventure, in this valley of tears, in this place of trial and tribulation, this place of distress, but apart from, so I think people can perhaps understand the need or why or what we do when we worship God in that sense, or that we receive Eucharist, we receive Holy Communion. Okay, so they may think it's just, a symbol, or it's just a remembering that Jesus was once here, and that he did this, and so we want to remember. No, but Jesus says, no, I better that I go, that I remain with you, and I come to you in this way. I feed you, that you not collapse, that you can, go out into the weather the storms of life and fight the good fight and bring light into the darkness and victory into the battle. I'm with you. I'm not going to abandon you. I abide within you. I give you myself. I feed you. In a sense, we participate in the profound mystery of incarnation. As a Blessed Virgin, she said, "Let it be done to me as you have said," and she was impregnated by the grace of the Spirit with Christ in order to bring him to the world. Right? I mean, she received Christ in her body, in her womb. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So our participation in the Eucharistic sacrifice, the offering of our lives, is like the Blessed Virgin Mary, we say, I am a servant of the Lord. Do unto me as you wish. I give you my life. Because we discover that we can't live without God. And he then feeds us. We receive him, in a sense, and for what purpose? But to reproduce his life in us, to transform us, to change us. To change us into what? To change us into himself? We're created in his image and likeness. So it's to bring us into our true self, as created in the image and likeness of God, and to purify, to purge, and to transform all that is false, all that is untruth, all that is a facade or a mask or whatever you want to call it, you know, mm-hmm. to grow into our true self, which is you can be nothing more beautiful than that. And so this is something that happens, okay? But what about the what we do as Catholics? We adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So even apart from the Mass, we have what we call Eucharistic adoration, where we bring ourselves before Jesus in the Eucharist. What happens? What does that do? Why do we do it? Can you answer me? Your turn now. Give me a break. Should we take a break? We'll take a break, and then I'll let you think about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back, okay? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I think we did it. Three. This is the third break, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did it. We made it today. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is blocks north of Division on Noble Trinity. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, visit our site at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on page, feel free to click on the Nations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on M750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, and thank you for being with us. So why do we go to the Blessed Sacrament? What do we do? What happens? You know, I was really thinking about this morning because I've been doing it for so many years, you know, and I can't live without it. I mean this very sincerely. I cannot, and this morning, because I knew I wanted to talk about this, and I thought, but how do you? Because I want to talk this, begin this confraternity, the Knights of Adoration. Mm-hmm. But how do I bring people to understand the value, the need, the necessity? And I think, I just want to say that it keeps me grounded, for one thing, because, okay, I admit, you know, I question, I get confused, I have doubts. I wonder, you know, why am I doing this? Is this really what God wants me to do? What have I waited? You know, these things come into my head, and it's part of the spiritual battle. But it's like those two disciples. I see myself in those two disciples on the road to Emmaus so often, where, you know, I'm kind of downcast and wondering and maybe feeling sorry for myself, you know, and I've been duped, the Jeremiah experience. Mm-hmm. But when I go back, I go to Christ in the Eucharist, and it keeps me grounded. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's it's like being with a friend, a faithful friend, and you know he's going to be there, and he's going to receive you as you are. You know, okay, I come today, Christ, I come, Lord, with my, I'm tired, I'm lonely maybe, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit afraid, I'm joyful, I'm tired, you know, there's, I don't know where to go, sure. what to do, you know, it's just, you come and you just, it's like just sitting with a friend who doesn't have to say anything. You just kind of, you have this, a basic trust, mm-hmm. a trust.
And the presence is there, Father.
It's there.
It's there. And you know he's there. That's the real presence. So you go there before him and you know that he's going to take care of you, that he has our back. And you just, it's like when you love someone and just knowing that they're there, that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's not a, like you're on a high yeah. or you're, again, it's not necessarily that you're experiencing, sometimes, you know, sometimes sure. it could be. But it's really a watching, a waiting. Yeah. It's being patient. It's yeah. being still. It's yes. being silent. It's a listening. There's no mm-hmm. doubt. It's, you know, I think this little story. I mean, maybe I've told you this mm-hmm. before, but it was a little boy Joey. Did you ever hear the story? So he used to, you know, the sisters, the nuns taught mm-hmm. him, you know, that Jesus is in the church and the Blessed Sacrament. So he was, you know, when they were preparing for Holy Communion. So all his life, you know, his young life, he would be on his bike, and any time he'd go by the church, he'd, you know, put his bike, park it on the stairs, walk up the stairs, open the door, and he says, "Hey, hello, Jesus, it's Joey," you know? And he would do that every mm-hmm. time, you know? Just, you know, "Hello, Jesus, it's Joey," then he'd get back on his bike. So everybody knew that this was something peculiar about this little mm-hmm. boy. He's always, you know, he always stops by the church and he just runs in, "Hello, Jesus, it's Joey." So he gets hit by a car on his bike and he's dying on the street and the people are all gathered around him. And all of a sudden, as the nun said, you know, this is his sister's all of a sudden, you know, he's dying, and this voice comes and says, "Hello, Joey, it's Jesus." Mm-hmm. That's kind of what yeah, it is, yeah. in a sense. It's kind of what it is. I was thinking, you know, the Lord gave us the Our Father. Mm-hmm. And really, that I've talked about this many times before, but those seven petitions, we carry that into the adoration. You know, we acknowledge the holiness of God's name, the holiness of God's presence, adoration. So we kneel, we prostrate. Thy kingdom come, it's present to us in the Eucharist. Thy will be done, it's our saying, "Here I am, I come to do your will." At the heart of the petitions is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And here's the Lord. He gives us himself, not only bread for the body, but bread for the soul, his very body, his blood. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us." Remember, Jesus says, before you go to the altar, you know, be reconciled with your brothers and sisters. And so we're acknowledging the need for reconciliation. Forgive us as we forgive others. And then we come quite humbly to say, you know, save me from myself, right? Lead me not into temptation. Save me from myself. My natural inclination wants to take me away from you into this or that or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. This is, so save me from myself. I'm coming to say, save me from myself, Lord. You're the Savior. Mm-hmm. You're the Savior. Save me from myself. And then finally, save me from the devil, from the evil one, from evil. So you know, that's what we take into the adoration. All you have to do is take the Our Father, the very prayer through Jesus to the Father. I was thinking about that this morning as well, because we may not be conscious of it, but that's what happens, right?
Yes.
I think.
I think a lot of this is not being conscious of it. That's why, I mean, I know people always want to know why. I think it's interesting because even you're making me think of things that I think I naturally know. But I think what people really need to see is that example. People in creation.
Absolutely, yeah.
People
sure.
going to communion. People knowing. I think even for me, knowing what I know as a little, you know, kid going to school, I don't think I ever really felt it unless I was, you know. You think about the procession. You think about Mass in general. Many times, I don't think I ever really knew what Mass was, even going through the religious classes that I have, but actually being there, and I think even the Eucharist became a part of me. It became, when I knew what it really is and the relationship I have with Jesus, it became so much greater. And then when you see it with people, you see, you know, even in adoration, you think of adoration. I think, again, it's something we just do. You know, you just do it. You go in empty and you come out with everything. I think that's the best way of describing mm-hmm. it.
Which, by the way, this is very interesting because the gospel today is Jesus says, be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, what does that mean? He's not talking about being faultless or flawless, but it's really about being complete, about being whole, about being completely and utterly filled with the life of God. And that's what happens in adoration. Mm-hmm. It's to come, to bring my emptiness, it's really to get into that inner sanctum of the soul where because that's God's dwelling place. So even the person you love the most, a husband to a wife or whatever, or a mother to a father, or a son to a mother, or whatever, it's nobody, or the best friend, whatever, nobody can, that's where God dwells. And so that's, and here we have to, but adoration, going before the Eucharist is just that. To be utterly complete, to be whole, to be filled with the life of God. All right, everybody, thanks so much. We shall return at some point, sometime. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Strong, but the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The light has changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. Thank you.
truth left unsold, the truth left.